There are many claims being made about the positive health benefits of vitamins, minerals, and other supplements. However, current research is showing that less publicly recognized phytochemicals in the foods we eat can play a significant role in cancer prevention and in our overall health. In fact, it literally can be a non-toxic version of chemotherapy.
And cancer is as strong as the link between smoking and cancer 50 years ago. And it took 50 years for our government to, you know, to ban smoking from restaurant and public places. And I didn't want, as a, you know, being so much involved in cancer research, that we wait 50 years for people to be aware of the latest data that research has brought to understand that some chemicals in food are indeed protective against cancer. I think it's a big issue. It's a new data, as you said very well, new data from research. But even Hippocrates, the founder of modern medicine in Occident, was saying that may the food be your drug. So in every, may that be Chinese or Indian medicine or Occidental medicine, food has always been part of the traditional way of treating people. We just forgot that in the last 100 years of North American history, but globally in the history of mankind, food has always been part of the way that we take care of ourselves. We just forgot that. The clinical evidence and the epidemiology evidence clearly support the fact that one-third of all cancer is related to bad eating habits. So this is as important as tobacco. One-third of all cancer is tobacco-related. So for lung cancer, for example, 85% of lung cancer is related to smoking. Mm-hmm. For colorectal cancer, the second most important cancer in Canada, it is 75% that is related to bad eating habits. So it's as important for some specific type of cancer than smoking is for lung cancer. So I think it's time that we start talking about it with the real term, and people make people aware of these facts.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned colon cancer, because in the beginning of the book, you show the statistics of cancer rates throughout the world and the differences in populations.
Oh, yeah.
And the migration of people and what happens to them. Can you get into a bit of the details about that?
Yes. Globally, North American, we do four times more cancer than the, you know, people from India, from Southeast Asia, or from Japan. 400 times more, you know, it's a lot. So when you compare specifically rates of prostate, the two most common cancer in North America, prostate and breast, okay?
Right.
Rates of prostate cancer in Japanese men is 25 times lower than it is for North American, 25 times lower. And for breast, it is 6 times lower. And when you take Japanese men or women and make them migrate to the U.S. or Hawaii, the rates of breast cancer is multiplied by 4, and the rates of prostate cancer is multiplied by 10. And of all the parameters that have been looked at, the shift in rates of cancer in most cases have been attributed to the change in their food habit. You don't change your genes because you migrate, right? So it's not, you know, that the relevance of gene is not... the heredity part is not as strong as we thought it was initially for most cancer. Gene gives you a predisposition to develop cancer, but even for with this predisposition, your lifestyle, you know, your smoking or not smoking, good eating, bad eating, sun exposure, obesity and lack of exercise, all this altogether play a major role in the probability of you developing a cancer or not developing a cancer. And that's important to understand that. I think one key figure of the book that we've brought to general knowledge is the fact that most adult people already have tumor in their tissue.
Mm-hmm.
The formation of tumor is a random event, it's a spontaneous event, and unfortunately most of us live with microtumor in our tissue. They're hidden there, they're latent, they're dormant, they're not clinically relevant. And basically what the research in oncology in the last 10 years has shown us, especially research in angiogenesis area, has shown that, in fact, it is our lifestyle, what we eat, what we do, that allow these tumors to evolve into a clinically relevant status. If we eat bad, then we create a favorable microenvironment for this tumor to evolve into clinically relevant tumor. And if we eat well, we bombard this tumor with phytochemicals from plant products that attack this tumor and create an hostile environment. So there is a good deal of personal responsibility. Just like for diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular diseases, our lifestyle is very has a lot of things to do with the generation of these diseases. I think we have to see cancer exactly the same type. Cancer is a chronic disease. We often tend to see it as an acute disease because from the moment you're diagnosed, you have very little time to interact clinically. But in fact, it has taken years and most of the time decades for these microtumors to evolve into a clinically relevant tumor. So it's a huge window of, you know, therapeutic intervention that you can have at home by eating well, by attacking these tumors.
Now, I'd like to get into one of the concepts you mentioned, because, again, in the first part of the book, you're covering pathophysiology, how cancers develop, the epidemiology as well.
Exactly.
And what I liked was the mechanisms that you were outlining in relation to later on in the book how these phytochemicals interfere with the processes. And one of them was with respect to angiogenesis or new blood vessel growth.
Yeah.
Can you sort of describe from what your lab has done and what you've looked at with regards to the phytochemicals,
how that
interacts?
Very, very good question. Angiogenesis is the formation of blood vessel in a tissue. And one of the most important discovery in the field of cancer research in the last 10 years is the discovery that tumor cannot grow beyond 1 cubic millimeter if it doesn't grow blood vessel to feed it. So there has been a lot of research, billions of research dollars put in research to develop drugs that block the formation of these tumor-associated blood vessels. And in fact, a lot of the chemicals in food, and we were one of the first lab to describe that chemicals in green tea that we call polyphenols or catechins have the property of blocking the development of these blood vessels by attacking the growth factor that are specifically responsible for the tumor-associated vessel development. So there has been new drugs that have been approved in the clinic. One of them is called Avastin, and essentially what it does that, it blocks blood vessel development, and it has been shown to have major effect in increasing the survival of colorectal cancer patients. So a lot of the chemicals that we have found in the foods, plant-derived food product, I say plant-derived food product and not fruits and vegetables because green tea, soy, and turmeric are not fruits and vegetables, but they are all plant-derived food product. Some of these chemicals, and a lot of them, are in fact attacking these blood vessels. So these chemicals, they just act exactly through the same target as the drugs that we use in the clinic to treat cancer patients. Some of them, they block the formation of carcinogen in the body. Some of them, they are cytotoxic. They attack directly the tumor cell and kill them. Some of them inhibit the blood vessel development associated with tumor proliferation. Some of them, they block the metastatic spreading of the tumor, the spreading from the initial tumor. And some of them, they immunomodulate, they activate our immune system to get rid of the microtumor that try to develop. So, I mean, this is what we do in the clinic. We don't treat one patient with one drug. You treat cancer patient with a combination of drug, polychemotherapy we call. And it is exactly what you do when you eat a diversified diet. You expose these microtumor to a very big cocktail of very toxic chemical for them, and they just don't like them. And that's the reason why we see so big difference in some specific part of the world where they eat a lot of specific food product.
We're in conversation with Dr. Richard Béliveau, author of Foods That Fight Cancer, Preventing Cancer Through Diet. When we come back, there are several concepts I wanted to cover. One is the metronome way of consuming fruits and vegetables and what it actually means with regards to cancer risk, the Nutrinome project that's being carried on at the Molecular Laboratory of Medicine at St. Justine Hospital, and a review of some of the phytochemicals and their modes of action, some of the common things or words that you may hear in either from articles that you read in the newspaper, and as well, I want to talk about some of the fun stuff, the chocolate and the wine as well. You're listening to Sunday House Call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. We'll be back in just a